This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. As most smartphone users will tell you, there are plenty of apps designed to make life more convenient and more entertaining. The same technologies that have us playing Angry Birds or checking our Facebook page can also be used for community-oriented civic purposes. The nonprofit Code for America brings together coders, artists, and designers to create easy-to-use applications that address the specific needs of local communities. With us to explain more is Mick Thompson. He's engineer in residence and 2012 fellow at Code for America. Mick, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So what is civic technology? How do you sum that up?
Civic technology, it's really kind of an emerging sector that we have, but it's where technology intersects with government. So anything that can be done to make citizens' lives easier as they interact with the government.
So what are some examples of how that's used?
So I'll give you a quick example of one that we've done. We actually have an application called Discover BPS. It was built in Boston, where the school system, it gets a little bit complicated as for the rules and regulations of where you can go and what might be the best school for your child. And so this is an application that steps you through that process. And guide you through what schools, based on distance and eligibility, and where it would be appropriate to send your kids.
So it looks like what you
do. It takes a complicated process and makes it simple.
Okay, so one can do that with their smartphone in their hand. And I'm looking at your city partners for 2012, Austin, Detroit, Chicago, Honolulu, Macon, New Orleans, Philadelphia, Santa Cruz. And you also have fellows. So this is pairing cities and what, smart thinkers, people who want to work on those cities? How do you do this?
Exactly. So we pair cities that are wanting to actually go on with some tech innovation with people who are experienced in that. So we bring people in from companies like Google and Apple. These fellows apply to actually spend a year coding for the greater good, as it were. So giving back to government in a way and making all of our lives a little bit easier.
So you, as an engineer in residence, are you there for a year or do you work for Code for America? How does that work?
Yeah, so I actually was a fellow last year. I got to go to the city of Honolulu and help out there. And then I stayed on this year as well for another year as engineer in residence to kind of help guide the program across cities and help some of the engineering choices there.
Tell us what you did in Honolulu. There were some really interesting projects. I'm looking at Adopt a Siren. What does that mean?
So Adopt a Siren's a really interesting story because it came from 2011, where in Boston they made Adopt a Hydrant. So the hydrants there get covered in snow, and they made an application so citizens can voluntarily sign up and say that they would clear the snow. So when emergency services come in, they'll be able to find the hydrant and put out the fire more quickly. So in Honolulu, we didn't have a lot of snow to clear, but instead we had sirens that are there for warning of like things like tsunamis and other emergencies. So the citizens listen for those on a monthly basis, but not always do problems get reported in a timely manner because people assume someone else will call in. So this is actually people signing up to adopt them and say that they will report issues, they will listen for problems, and you know they'll walk by and generally check the condition of the siren.
So I'm thinking this implies a kind of openness of cities to share records. You know, the citizens have to know where the hydrants are and where the sirens are. How are cities working with you and the fellows on these kind of projects?
So actually, I would say that's a very national movement at this point. Open data has come even from the federal level, where we have websites like data.gov releasing a lot of data sets. And then cities have kind of followed that lead and have started releasing data sets around everything from hydrants and sirens to some records around like other FOIA-able things or things that people can freely request, like salaries and stuff inside of government.
What happens after you leave? Like you were in Honolulu for a year. After the apps have been launched, who gets to pick them up, maintain them, take care of them?
So that works differently depending on the city and who we're working with in the city. and the project itself. So in the city of Honolulu, we also made an application called Honolulu Answers, which is meant to be more of a guided process of getting an easy answer to questions that citizens commonly ask. And the city is going to maintain that. They have worked in-house. They already have developers on staff, and they'll be able to maintain that. In other cities, sometimes it's a cooperation with some outside partners, or in some cases, these get turned into civic startups.
Mick, we have a minute left. I'm wondering, Code America has already launched 28 apps, so a lot of work already done. How do you know if people are actually using those applications?
So that's something that we're very cognizant of, and it's very important to us that we're actually making a difference and impacting the things that we want. So we monitor that, and we make sure that, like in the case of some of our applications, that we're getting new users and that we're impacting some of the process points that were kind of pain points before.
Any plans for Code for Rural America? We in New Hampshire could use some good civic apps.
Yeah, we've worked with a couple of small towns, actually, and we'd love to work with a few more. So Rural America can definitely benefit. And even the apps that we create in larger cities, everything that we do is open source. So cities and civic developers everywhere can reuse them.
Mick Thompson, Engineer in Residence and 2012 Fellow at Code for America. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We do have links to some of the Code for America projects and their website at wordofmouthradio.org. Now, coming up after a short break, we're going to teach you how to think more about sex. The author of a rather unusual self-help book explains why the problem of sex isn't going to go away anytime soon when Word of Mouth continues.